You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Wolfgang Halbig. Wolfgang, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Dave, for having me on today.
Wolfgang, I saw something on the internet about you contacting a variety of officials and law enforcement agencies and other agencies regarding the Sandy Hook Elementary School event and somebody coming to your home and threatening you. I want to get into great detail about that in a moment, but before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are?
If people want to Google me, they can, under Wolfgang W. Halbig, but I came to this country at age 12 from Germany. Dave, I couldn't speak a word of English, and I think, as you learned today, they can't shut me up anymore. But, you know, it's such a great privilege to live in this country. I grew up in a little town called Avon Park, Florida. I had so many great role models, coaches, teachers, even the Florida State Trooper that really touched my heart, especially when my mother almost died in a motor vehicle accident. And so guess what? I became a Florida State Trooper because he made a difference in my life. I worked in Miami, Florida in 1974 through 1977, days of the cocaine cowboys, and Miami was a tough place to work. And a lot of people don't remember, in those days, we had no paramedics or EMTs. We had no trauma centers or LifeStar helicopters, trauma helicopters. We didn't have the jaws of life. So all of this is learning experience. You know, I stayed, I became a U.S. Customs agent, and you can only put so many people in jail, and that's not who I am, and that's not what I wanted to do. I want to prevent people from going to jail. So I got into education, was in education for 35 years, became a teacher, coach, head football, baseball, became an assistant principal, principal. So I've done the whole gamut. I've been both law enforcement and education, and that's why Sandy Hook is really, really important to me because I'm a national school safety consultant. I travel the country. I don't think there's a state I've not been in, and I only work for school superintendents and school board members who contract me. So there is a nexus as to why I'm really passionate about finding the truth as to what happened on December 14th, 2012.
Definitely somebody who has been lived and is continuing to live the American dream.
You know, I have two sons and I have two granddaughters. I cannot tell you how privileged I am. I mean, it's not a right. I am privileged. When I raised my right hand and became a naturalized citizen, people don't understand. I got goosebumps on my arms. I love America. I love for what it is. You know, you look at the founding fathers. I taught American history in public schools. People sacrificed. And I think our country has to be about the truth. That's the only way we're ever going to move forward. And what I'm starting to see is there's some missing pieces. And that's what I'm trying to find out. And I'm trying to use all of the legal resources, such as the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act. I've been doing this for 10 months, asking for simple, I mean, these are simple questions. It should not make any parent feel bad. It should not make the school district feel bad or the Newtown Police Department or the Connecticut State Troopers. Simple questions, and for 10 months, they have refused to respond to any of my Connecticut Freedom of Information requests.
Let's go back to December 14th, 2012. What was it about Sandy Hook that made you question it, and when did you start questioning it?
Well, I started questioning it about a week after the event unfolded. I'll be honest with you, I was in shock. When I watched that thing on national news unfold, dear God, children are being shot and killed in an elementary school. Teachers are losing their lives in an elementary school. Be honest with you, as a national school safety consultant, I was in shock. I couldn't believe it because I was an expert witness in the Columbine incidents in 1999. I was at Columbine. I was in that media center. So it just brought back a lot of memories. It took me about a week to figure something out. And I questioned myself, why would they not do this? And these were simple things that I was looking at that in any active shooter incident we have today, there are certain things that unfold because every school emergency has four distinct time periods. And what I was looking at is the first 10 minutes. What happened on Sandy Hook during the first 10 minutes of the shooting on December 14th, 2012? And I'm amazed that they didn't do these things.
Why don't you run through what they were supposed to do within the first 10 minutes?
they, from the first time the 911 call comes in and they activate law enforcement and the call went out, all hands on deck. That means every police officer was notified there were shots fired at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Well, you know, when you close your eyes, and me as a state trooper, when I get a call that there's a fatality, I'm trying to picture what I got to do as I'm driving and trying to get there as quickly as possible to save people's lives. What I'm amazed at is that when the police arrived on the scene, they parked a quarter of a mile from the front door of the school, knowing that shots are being fired inside the school. Why would you park a quarter of a mile? I mean, time is of the essence. And everything that they've been trained on and they've been practicing is neutralize the threat as quick as possible. Don't wait for other people. If you're the first officer on the scene, boy, you get in there, you find the threat, you neutralize it, and you save as many as you can. Parking a quarter of a mile away, and they're parking on Crestview or Crest something drive, that's now how police respond.
Have you ever seen this type of police response before where they would park that far away?
Let me tell you something. I thought Columbine was bad on how we responded in trying to save children and teachers' lives then. And you know what I liked about Columbine? Law enforcement, Dave, actually came out and said, hey, we did bad. We were wrong. We should not have sat back and waited 3 hours before we entered the school. Because remember, that was a hostage situation. Law enforcement, for the first time, and even medical services said, we should have done better. We should have got in there quicker. We should have neutralized the threat. So the new protocols out of Columbine tells us today that the first unit arriving on the scene, you take action. You don't wait for your other friends to show up to help neutralize the threat. It's an active shooter event, and they know how to do it. It just didn't happen at Sandy Hook.
Because I read the document that you sent over to me, there are a lot more anomalies here.
Oh, many.
What shocked me, and I'm sure that a lot of people feel the same way, and they want to find out, how can this be? When you were requesting some information, that somebody actually paid you a visit, can you, for the listeners, lead up to how that visit occurred? What were you in the process of doing that really precipitated those people to come and pay you a visit before we even get to what they actually wanted from you?
Well, you know, basically my simple questions were, why no trauma helicopters? The scene at Sandy Hook was neutralized within 11 minutes. The school was deemed to be safe. Well, think about it. You got 20 children, 6 staff members who've supposedly been shot. They're seriously injured. Where's the trauma helicopters? Those are the quickest and the best medical services that any child or any school staff member can receive. And no trauma helicopters were ever requested. The next thing, why would you not let your paramedics and EMTs, who are just 500 yards down the road from the Sandy Hook Volunteer Fire Department, why would you not let them go inside the building to treat those that are injured or severely shot, maybe clinging to life? Who declared all those 26 people dead within the first 11 minutes? Connecticut law states that only a doctor can declare them dead. Legally dead. And so these are things that I was asking for. Who, when, why? And I think the next thing I know is I've got 2 homicide investigators from the Lake County Sheriff's Office where I live. And I mean, I'm well known in the community. I was the director of risk management for the local school district. I've been a director for school safety for a school district of 65. People know me. Here, I've got 2 law enforcement officers, homicide investigators, walking up to my door in my house, ring my bell, and they're telling me that they need to talk to me. I'm saying, sure, fine, come in. They're telling me that if I don't stop asking questions about the Sandy Hook school shooting, that the Connecticut State Police is going to file charges, felony charges against me for harassment. And I looked at them, and to be honest with you, Dave, I mean, you talk about a threat. They're trying to intimidate me. And here I am. I'm a former law enforcement officer, both state and federal. I follow the legal guidelines of the Connecticut State Freedom of Information Act. And they're threatening me and intimidating me to stop asking questions. Now, here's a problem. And that's what even got me fired up even more when they started bringing people to my house.
Let's go back a little bit here. Who did you actually contact? Do you remember the individuals and organizations that you actually contacted to request the information?
Oh, absolutely. The first thing you do is you start with the Newtown Public Schools.
When did you start this?
I probably started 2 months after the incident. I mean, I've got all the records and copies of every email, every request I ever made. And Dave, I did it very politely. I always thanked them for their help. Please, I'm just trying to solve a puzzle. Because every crime, Dave, every crime, and your law enforcement friends will tell you this, every homicide, every crime is a puzzle. And it's very easy to put together. You got to have the pieces. It's not what people think. It's not misdirection. A puzzle is a piece, and it has to fit into another piece. And you don't go forward till you match everything up. And Sandy Hook, it's a puzzle. But guess what? The pieces don't fit, Dave. The pieces will not fit. And I'm going to tell you why. Why in the world? Never have I ever heard of this. Why would the FBI out of New Haven, why would the FBI classify the Sandy Hook investigative report on the shooting? Why would you classify something like that?
Has that ever been done before?
Never. Even Columbine, even Virginia Tech, Bethel, Alaska, Jonesboro. I mean, I can name them over. I can tell you all the shootings. Never has an FBI agency ever classified a investigative report on a school shooting. And you know what? You know this, Dave. I promise you that President Obama, Attorney General Eric Holder, and former director of the FBI, Robert Mueller, I promise you they had their report in their hands within 72 hours of that shooting. Why did they make all the parents, why did they make America wait 11 months to give us this report, which is so much misinformation and misdirection? Dave, I mean, something is not right. And the puzzle has to be put together. And that's what I'm working on.
You went to work contacting all of them. The date was approximately 2 months after, so let's just say it was middle of February, approximately.
February, yeah. Right. February, I started sending Connecticut requests for freedom of information.
When was it that these law enforcement officials from Lake County showed up on your door? What was that date?
Right before Christmas.
So basically, you had been inquiring since February of 2013,
right.
And almost the whole year, and then I guess they got tired of you asking questions,
yep.
And so they sent these two fellas. Who were they exactly? Homicide detectives, you said?
Yeah, they worked for the Lake County Sheriff's Office, and they were two homicide investigators. I got their business card. I'm just appalled the fact that the meeting is almost in a threatening and intimidating manner, like they were going to threaten and intimidate me.
That's what I want to actually have you go over, if you could. What time was it that this happened?
It's about 10 a.m. in the morning. Just sitting here working on some work product for a training session that I have to do for the Florida School Board Association. It's about school safety. When all of a sudden the doorbell rings and
right.
There are two people.
They're at the door. You opened it up. You were probably a little bit surprised. Could you tell right away they were law enforcement?
No, they were in plain clothes.
Okay. Did they talk first or did you say, what can I help you with?
No, they introduced themselves. You know, they showed me their identification, their badges, and they basically said, we need to have a conversation. And I said, well, come on in, sit down, make yourself comfortable. And then they read off my resume. I mean, somehow they did a lot of homework. They knew about my military service. They knew about me being the Florida State Trooper and the Customs Agent. They knew about me being a teacher. They knew about me being a National School Safety Consultant. I mean, they had a list of all the things that I've ever accomplished.
They had your dossier. Somehow they acquired it. They put it together, which is kind of a little, I guess, East German-ish.
Reminds me. Bad days.
Exactly. Keeping files on regular people, regular hardworking American people. They went right into reading off parts of your dossier. They went right into that, right?
Yeah. And
okay.
They even said, hey, we thank you for your service to the military. I'm going, what are you doing?
How long did this whole dossier reading take? Just a couple minutes?
It was pretty lengthy. I mean, somebody did the homework.
What was the next thing that happened in your mind?
Well, basically, the next thing said that if I don't stop, the Connecticut State Police were going to file charges, and they recommended that I hire an attorney. And I said, there's no way in the world that I'm going to hire an attorney because I'm following the procedures of the Connecticut State Freedom of Information Act. I mean, if anybody ought to be arrested, I said, you tell those guys they ought to be arrested for failing to comply by the law of Connecticut. And I said, you can tell them right now, I will not stop. I will not stop. And that's how I ended my conversation.
Mm-hmm. How long was the whole meeting?
Probably about 15, 20 minutes.
And you said you will not stop. Did you stand up and walk them to the door?
Absolutely.
So they weren't very nice to you, you're saying?
I don't think they were very polite at all.
Mm. So they came into your home.
Yeah.
Did you offer them any coffee or tea or anything?
No.
And they had an attitude, like a threatening attitude. Is that what you're
Absolutely.
Saying?
Absolutely. That if I don't comply, that bad things are going to happen to me.
Nothing's happened yet then.
No, not yet. And I haven't stopped asking. I mean, matter of fact, I did a public records request this morning to Newtown Public Schools. Here's the thing, Dave. They do not return any phone calls. I called the facilities director. I've called the superintendent's office, the secretary to the school board members. I've emailed the school board members each personally with the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act. I have contacted Chief Kehoe, Captain Rios, Lieutenant Cinco. I mean, every key player in this puzzle. Remember, I called this a puzzle because they're a piece of that puzzle. They refused to call me back. I called the Department of Education in Connecticut, and I complained about the ethics that this district is displaying for the fact they're not being professional by returning phone calls. When I was a principal, they, and I didn't return the phone call within a reasonable amount of time, they came after me. People were really, really upset.
Sure.
Newtown, Connecticut, the school district, they don't return phone calls.
I know what you're saying. It always amazed me and shocked me how people, not just there, but in general nowadays, they just don't have the courtesy to get back to you.
Yeah, but we're an educational environment. I mean, I lived 35 years being an educator. I've always learned to be respectful. I've always learned to return phone calls in a timely manner. You know what? I may not have liked to return the phone call. I may not like talking to you, Dave, as a parent, but guess what? That's my responsibility. I had to do it, okay? These people, they don't return phone calls. The chief of police, forget it. Captain Rios, forget it. Paul Vance, forget it. He doesn't have a clue. They just don't return phone calls.
From everything that you've seen and heard, what do you suspect about Sandy Hook?
I suspect, in my professional opinion, as a consultant and doing this for a long, long time, I think it's a scripted event that took place. I think it was in planning for maybe two and a half years. If you look at the information that I provide others just to look at, there is no way, if you read depositions or their transmissions, police transmissions don't lie, okay? Being a former police officer, the public doesn't understand how to listen to radio transmissions. But when a police officer comes on the police dispatcher communication system and says, we have multiple weapons inside the classroom, rifles and a shotgun. Now, this is a sworn law enforcement officer who's been trained, who tells America, who tells all of us that, hey, I've got multiple weapons. I got a rifle and I have a shotgun and nobody can find the shotgun. Where did it go? I mean, simple things. And then you have a police officer at 9:45 in the tape. He finds a girl in the hallway. He finds a kindergarten girl in the hallway. And guess what? He sends her back into room 8. Well, the public doesn't understand this. Room 8 is the crime scene. That's where they've got numerous children. They've been shot to death. Teacher's been shot to death. And a policeman's going to send this little kindergarten girl back into room 8? Then you got two Connecticut State Troopers going to room 10. Guess what, Dave? Room 10 is the crime scene. They go into room 10 and they find a boy in the bathroom. His name is redacted. And then he tells them, which is them, so there has to be more than one, to stay in the room, and they'll be back after the school's been made safe. Dave, they're going to leave those kids in that room with all those dead bodies and people injured, teacher dead? That is not police protocol. That's just not how we work in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Until they explain that to me, I'm not stopping.
That's cool. Do you believe that children were killed?
No. You know what? That was hard for me just to say. But when you look in totality, and I'm going to say this to you, Dave. Do you have children, Dave?
I have 3 sons.
Can I tell you what, Dave? If something were that to happen, God hope never happens to any of us, okay? But let's say we have a child that's been shot and killed in the school, and they're at the morgue. Just like, remember, I was a state trooper. I had to take many, many people to the morgue. And I'll tell you what, I know what tears look like. I know what pain looks like. I did it for 3 years. I cannot believe that parents of those children who died or loved ones would not want to see their own child. I can't believe that the medical examiner did not allow the parents to view the bodies of their own children. I, as a parent, I want to touch the hand of my son or daughter. I want to hug him. I don't care how many bullet holes they have in him.
Right.
I am going to touch my child. Don't you damn give me a picture or show me a picture of my child. I want to touch my child. That is unheard of, Dave.
Yeah,
that is unheard of. You as a parent, you would kick the door down.
Oh, of course. They couldn't stop me.
Well, how do we sit back as a society and accept that to be a fact? It's part of the puzzle, and it doesn't fit.
Mm. Did you get any documents at all?
No, absolutely nothing.
What are you basing all of your theories off of?
Think about the questions that I'm asking, okay? One, they should have responded. How simple is this? I called LifeStar, which is the trauma services out of Danbury. I mean, I did my homework. They said, Mr. Halbig, we were never requested on that morning, okay? We were shocked and surprised. We were ready. We thought we were going to go to Sandy Hook. They had helicopters ready to go, but they were never asked. And so here's my premise. My premise is, Dave, it wasn't anybody there to be treated. Where was the ambulances? Why did it take an hour and a half, supposedly, for somebody to be transported to Danbury Hospital? And here's the one that really gets me, being a police officer. You have a Lieutenant Cinco for the Newtown Police Department. Now, this is a guy with 24 years of experience. On that morning, he's happening to be working an off-duty detail at a construction site, maybe a mile and a half from Sandy Hook School. And the call goes out, all hands on deck, which means everybody. He refuses to leave his off-duty work for 2.5 hours, and then he shows up. Why would you not, as a police officer, break away and go to that school to neutralize the threat? Because he knew something's not right. There are so many discrepancies. Remember, it's simply a puzzle. A simple puzzle, because guess what? Based on the Connecticut State Police report, you have one shooter, supposedly Adam Lanza. Number two, he shot his way in the front door. Number three, he fired 153 rounds because of the shell casing. Number four, we've got 6 bodies. Number five, we've got a black Honda Civic parked out front with all 4 car doors open, with a shotgun supposedly in the front seat. Who shut the doors? Who took the shotgun and put it in the trunk? I mean, you're tampering with a crime scene. You don't touch things. It's a crime scene. There are so many discrepancies. And you know what? Nobody wants to answer the questions.
Where are you going to go from here? You going to keep doing it?
Well, I think the next thing I'm going to do is, right now, I'm going to try to raise a lot of money, some funds. I think there are a lot of people out there who really, really believe in learning the truth. And, you know, they call them conspiracy nuts, and they call them all kind of names. You got a guy named Jim Tracy. What a nice man. College professor. And all he did is question what happened on that day, and they try to get him fired out of his job. I mean, you got people who spend all of their lives in education teaching others, and what they teach, it's okay to question. There's nothing wrong in trying to question what happened. And they try to get him fired. But here's my point. What I'm trying to do is raise a lot of money, and I think the only way we're ever going to get the truth, I'm going to hire some attorneys, and we're going to depose some of the key players that I mentioned, okay? They need to be put under oath, and they need to testify in the deposition, and then I'll be happy. Because if you lie during the deposition, that's a felony.
Have you ever questioned an event like this before in the past?
Never. I was an expert witness in Bethel, Alaska. Principal got shot in the face. Ninth grader got shot. Jonesboro, Arkansas. Middle school kids. I was an expert witness there. Columbine. I was there. Never, ever did I question police or the authority as to response and how they managed the incident. I trust them. The system has to be trustworthy. We have to know that we protect our children and that parents have a right to know. And it's not just the parents there. I think all of us in America has a right to know. Because Sandy Hook, if it's done one thing to this nation, it's raised the level of panic and fear in every public, private, and parochial school. We have now school districts overreacting because of Sandy Hook. And we don't know if that's even a true incident that happened. We have panic and fear running amok across this country.
You're convinced that you're not going to get anywhere with your Freedom of Information Act request, right?
Well, it hasn't worked for 10 months. You know, the next thing in law is that you file civil lawsuits against the school district, police department, and then you start deposing people, Dave. The only way you're ever going to get the truth is by getting them to raise their right hand. Because
right.
If you lie in a deposition and if you're caught in that lie, there's a lot of things that you can lose. You can go to jail and you can lose your retirement.
Mm.
And I think that's what's happening. They're counting on nobody's ever going to do this.
Well, obviously, no one else is doing it except for you to this degree, but have you ever been to Newtown, Connecticut?
Not yet.
Are you planning on going there?
Yeah, I'll probably be there next month.
Do you think that you'd be able to uncover some things actually being on the ground in the field, as it were?
Well, since they tore down the school, that's another one, you know, tearing down Sandy Hook Elementary School. Remember I told you I was in the media center at Columbine?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I saw the blood. I saw the crime scene. Dave, you would not believe how ugly the body fluids, the blood, the brain matter. I mean, it was everywhere, okay? They didn't tear down Columbine. They rebuilt it. They renovated it. They made it as nice as possible. One of the things that I asked from the Newtown Public Schools, what environmental company did you contract to come in to remove all the biohazards, such blood, bodily fluids, brain matter? You know what they said to me on the phone when they did answer? Well, it wasn't really the person I was looking for. They said, what are you talking about? Can you imagine? That's 45 to 60 gallons of blood with 26 people. That's a lot of blood.
That is a lot of
blood. Stained carpet, blood splattered everywhere on the furniture. Who cleaned it up? Dave, think about this with your listeners. What is wrong with just saying what the company's name is and when did they come and do it and what was the cost of the project? How simple is that? It's not going to offend anybody. It's not going to hurt anybody's feelings. It shows that you were responsible and you did all the right things. They won't even tell you that. I asked a question in the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act. Who installed the security system at Sandy Hook? Just give me the name, the contractor, the cost of the project, who paid for it. I don't want to know where the cameras are. I don't want to put anybody at risk. They won't even give me the name of who the person they hired to put in the system.
Wow.
And they cite that if they give me the name, it would put all the children at risk. How is that putting the children at risk? I'm just asking for the contractor's name and the cost of the project. And I even put in there big, bold letters. I do not want to know where the cameras are, just the cost of the project. When was it done? Now, how simple is that? That's public record. It's taxpayer dollars, Dave.
It seems like there's a cover-up here. Would you say that?
Absolutely. And I will say it. It is. Because when you refuse to respond to simple requests, something is not right. Every one of the questions that I ask on your program today, guess what? Didn't they be responded to? I mean, they're very simple questions. Dave, who declared 26 people dead within 11 minutes? Especially when Connecticut state law says only a doctor can do that. And my favorite one is the registered nurse, Sally Cox. They didn't find her for 4 hours in the front office. They had SWAT team after SWAT team after SWAT team. Now, you're going to tell me that you can't find the secretary and a registered nurse in the front office after 4 hours? She's in the closet? You've got to be kidding me. Is that how we function as a SWAT team? And then when they bring her out, they tell a registered nurse to cover her eyes because they don't want her to see the blood. What do you think registered nurses do?
There's too many question marks here.
They're puzzles. It's not a hoax. I think it's an elaborate plan over 2 years. I think somebody did a great job planning this event. When do you ever see a big traffic sign that says everyone must sign in the morning of one of the worst shootings ever? You got a big old traffic sign flashing, everyone must sign in. What the hell is that about? We don't do that. We didn't do that at Columbine. We didn't do that in all the other tragic shootings. Porta potties within 3 hours. Boy, somebody is efficient. That's the last thing you're thinking about is porta potties. The thing that you and I are talking about this morning, they should never offend any parent if this event truly happened. I'm very sensitive. I don't want to offend anybody. But these are simple questions that we as homicide investigators, we need to know and we should know. And every police agency across the country should know.
Yeah, of course they shouldn't be offended because here's a former law enforcement professional who was shocked by the fact that these protocols were not followed. So all you're doing is going by instinct. So yeah, I don't see why anybody would be offended. They shouldn't be. You're just asking some questions.
So why would you threaten me to be arrested if I don't stop?
That's why I wanted to talk to you. I would be very much interested in hearing what went down when you go to Sandy Hook next month. Would that be a possibility to have you back to talk about that?
Sure. I'm going to go to school board meeting. I want to look at my eyeball to eyeball. The one thing I've learned in law enforcement, it's hard to do it on the phone or fax or emails, but when you look at people in the eyes, here's another one, okay? Super Bowl 2013, one of the greatest events in America, and when a child or children perform at such an event, it would be a nice thing to do to publish their names in the Super Bowl magazine, something that they could keep for the rest of their lives. Why would you not publish the name of the 26 children and the chorus director in the Super Bowl magazine?
I don't know.
What is there to hide? If that was my son and daughter and they were having to be singing at Sandy Hook and they were going to perform at the Super Bowl, my gosh, can you imagine having their name in the Super Bowl magazine?
No, of course
you'd
want to.
Something that they would have for the rest of their life, you know, when they're 30, 40, to tell their children, look, I got to sing at the Super Bowl. What is the cover-up? Why would you not give out the names? These are things that do not, they just do not make sense. And I cannot believe people sit back and they listen to the national news media, that idiot box telling them what they should believe.
Yeah, I know. That's a whole other story, unfortunately. But what if some listeners want to get in touch with you? Is there a way they can do that?
Yeah, you got my number, 352-729-2559. I'm very open. I have nothing to hide. I only have one name. I don't have multiple names. I'm not AKA. I'm just Wolfgang Halbig, and I spend my lifetime doing this, trying to help children and teachers and parents. And Why would you not tell us what happened? Why is the report classified? That's the one that really...
That's what you've got to find out.
I'm working on Senator Webster here in Florida. I'm going through some of the senators to try to get a copy of the classified report or get it declassified. There is no rhyme or reason why we cannot get the FBI, especially when President Obama, on the day of the tragedy on national news, he says, I will use every resource in my office to investigate this heinous crime. Well, okay, you've made a promise. Then why can't we see what that report is? Would you not agree?
Of course.
Well, he made it on national news. I mean, he's got his tears flowing. I will use every resource of my office. And he said on the newscast, I have directed Robert Mueller, director of the FBI, to take charge of this investigation. And guess what? The FBI report's not included in the Danbury State Attorney's findings. They refused to publish anything the FBI said in the report that was released to all of us in the public domain. Why would you do that?
I don't know. It seems like there's a lot more questions than answers. But if this was, in fact, some kind of an event that had been in the works for a couple of years, as you say, and I think a lot of people probably are asking the same question in order to really wrap their minds around something like this. Could it be pulled off? Wouldn't there be just like so many people who would have to be involved in it? It would run into the thousands. Is that something that you've thought about?
Yeah. Remember one thing about Watergate, follow the money?
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen that many fundraisers. So much money has been collected. And I can't believe this. Remember, I told you I was a director of risk management. I have never, ever, and this, remember, I told you I was 67. I've never, ever seen a school shooting in which there are not lawsuits filed by the parents against the school district for negligence.
Right.
Not one lawsuit, not one, has been filed by the parents against the Newtown Public School System. That's unheard of. There are 17 million raised to United Way. Every parent, never heard of this before, every parent in lieu of flowers make money contributions to this bank. Every parent got a big chunk of money from that 17 million fundraiser. Eric Holder, Attorney General, comes in and gives all the police officers a big check. There is so much money involved in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's other benefits that I would look at. I mean, I look at witness relocation. I would look at people not having to pay their taxes for the next 10 years. I just think there's a lot of deals going on. Dave, I do not believe, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I believe in only facts. And I believe this crime, supposed crime that was committed, it's a puzzle. And nobody can show me the pieces to put together in finishing this puzzle. They don't fit. No matter how hard you try, Dave, you and your listeners will not be able to put this puzzle together. Why? It's simple. One shooter, 26 bodies, 153 casings, broken window, black car. Forget the mother. Just focus on Sandy Hook. Why does it have to be classified? We know who the shooter is. He's dead. You know he had autism. He has Asperger's. Being a PE teacher many years ago, one thing we learned about children with Asperger's, they have very, very poor coordination. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that, actually.
Oh, let me tell you. This is the common denominator with children with autism or Asperger's. They have very, very poor motor skills.
I knew that with autism, but I didn't know that about Asperger's.
Autism and Asperger's, both of them had the same thing. Now, Asperger's, they're higher functioning academically. They're a little smarter. They're better academically prepared. But autism and Asperger's, both of them, have very poor motor skills. And when you watch those children in our PE classes, 15, 16, 17, very poor muscle tone. So how did he carry all of that? Remember I told you earlier in the show that the policeman said we have a rifle and a shotgun?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how does he carry a rifle and a shotgun and handguns and all those bullets? How does he carry all of that and then shoot 26 people, 3 to 11 times in 11 minutes? I'm not that good, and I'm a good police officer.
Right, and no one was wounded, right?
Nobody was wounded. And then you look at Columbine, you remember this? 15 dead, 23 seriously wounded. And these two guys had all the time in the world to shoot all those kids dead. They wounded them. They just kept moving. Dave, there are too many questions, and that's why I'm in trouble. That's why people want me to quit asking. These are simple questions that any investigator, any homicide investigator should be asking today. The question you and I need to keep asking, why have you closed your eyes? Why are you not asking those questions?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're on the job, seriously, because it's these type of things that would prevent the normal person from moving forward, because you're coming up against all these obstacles. This can't be easy mentally in order to... You're trying to figure something out, and you're coming up against brick walls everywhere you go. It sounds to me like you're not going to stop, though, right?
I'm not, because I think the only way, I think the way I'm going to stop is when I get them in a room with an attorney, with a stenographer, and I'm going to get them to raise their right hand, and I'm going to get them to tell me the truth. And the questions are going to be just like what we talked about today. I'm going to find the person in charge. Why would you not order trauma helicopters for those children on that morning? Now think about the person at the other end who's got that hand up. What are they going to say? Then I'm going to find the person who should allow those paramedics and EMTs inside the school to treat those children and maybe save some lives. I'm going to find the person, find out why did you not let him in? I'm just going to find out who made the decision that these bodies are legally dead. Who made that decision? Dave, that's the only way that we will ever, ever find the truth of what happened on Sandy Hook.
If this conspiracy goes all the way up to the White House, which of course there's a possibility that it does. I don't like to discount anything. I like to keep my mind open to everything, which is a rarity I've found in life, as you've found out, I'm sure. But if this does go up to these highest levels, don't you think that if they do know that you're going to want to pursue this to the very end, don't you think that possibly your life might be in danger right now or in the very near future?
Dave, I'm 67 years old. I've had a great life. I've met so many wonderful people. I think I've lived my life as a U.S. citizen should, having the privilege of being a U.S. citizen. I think I've done many good things. Whatever would happen to me from this day forward, I had a great journey. But this is a huge tragedy. And if people use children and teachers as a prop to enhance somebody's agenda, shame on you. And I can tell you this, President Obama, Eric Holder, and Robert Mueller, they're not going to sit in their offices for 11 months waiting for the Connecticut state attorney to finish his report. I can promise you, look at this, Boston Marathon bombing. In 72 hours, they shot and killed one of the suspects. They shot and injured the other suspect hiding in a boat. They knew everything about their families, where they've been, who their friends are, who they eat dinner with. They knew about their colleges. They knew everything in 72 hours. Now, why are you and I having to wait 11 months for the state attorney in Danbury to tell us what happened on that day? The president's not going to wait 11 months to get a report. You think he's going to like it when the Danbury state attorney says, well, we really have not finished our investigation yet? You got to be kidding me. That's the president of the United States, attorney general. They know. They know, and that's why it's classified. Shame on them.
You're willing to die for this?
Yes, I will. Sorry, you probably think I'm crazy, but
I don't think you're crazy. That's what you decided. I think it's honorable, personally, to go for the truth like that. I wish more people were like that.
Well, Dave, it's a nexus. If I were just a carpenter, a plumber, if I went to work in the stock market every day, I probably wouldn't be interested, okay? But how do I stand traveling across the street? Like the other day, I stood in front of 200 Florida school board members in Tampa talking about how to make their schools safer. They're looking at me asking questions. What do we do? What can we do? Should we have police officers? Should we do this? And here, it's all about Sandy Hook. Well, look what happened in Sandy Hook. Well, we don't really know. How do I tell people how to make their schools safer? Well, we don't even have the truth about Sandy Hook. See, there is a nexus. I do this for a living. I trained over 3,500 school police officers to the Justice and Cops program. I travel the country, and they pay me to train people. So that's why I'm so passionate about asking the questions, simple questions, simple questions. I don't know how I do it, but I'd like to host a conference in Orlando, Florida, for anybody who's seeking the truth on Sandy Hook. There are so many people invested so much amount of time that have questions just like I do, like you do, like every parent should have. And I hope they come to Orlando before I have a two-day workshop. And I'm going to ask them to bring whatever they have that they think is something that they're concerned about. I think it's healthy to have a conversation. I think it's healthy to talk about it because guess what? It can happen again somewhere else.
Yeah. When is this conference?
I don't know. We're working on it. I'm trying to do two things. Get the attorneys. One way to really, really cause a stir is sue the NFL first.
Because of the Super Bowl?
Yeah. They have a vested interest because they allowed those kids to sing at the venue. They paid for their expenses, hotel, food. They're actually part of it, and they need to disclose. There's no reason for them not to disclose who these people are.
Have you contacted them yet?
Nope. I'm just telling you, you're the first person to heard this. Remember I told you it has to go the legal direction? People on a blog or people just keep writing. It's just not going to go anywhere until you make people raise their right hand and you put them in the seat and you ask simple questions that should have simple response. That's what we're not doing as a country. We're so disorganized, so fragmented, and that's what they're counting on. They're counting on us for being fragmented. I got to tell you, when I came to this country at age 12, I mean, I was scared to death. I'm in public schools. I remember being in the fifth grade. I couldn't speak a word of English. They didn't have ESOL. I sat there in the back of the room every day. And eventually I got a scholarship to play football out in Texas, and it sort of changed my life. Athletics changed my life. So, you know, it's just something I give back.
Yeah.
My wife always says you talk too honestly. You need to speak politically correct.
I don't think so.
Well, you know, politicians speak politically correct. But Dave, when I'm a state trooper, I mean, think about 1974. Remember I told you, no EMTs, no paramedics, no jaws of life. When you come to some of the most horrific accidents, all you have is a crowbar and a hammer and a chisel. You have a first aid kit. Who are you going to call to help you save your life? There ain't nobody you can call. It's you. These young police officers don't remember what those days were like. They look at today, you know, they call a paramedic, they call the trauma helicopters. They just do the police reports. They don't touch the bodies anymore, okay? We didn't have rubber gloves. Remember I said I paid my dues?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a day I didn't see death. When you see a child dead, children dead, when you see children burned to death in the car, when you see children drown in a retention pond, you know, in Miami, they got nothing but canals. And when you have to knock on somebody's door at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the light comes on, and they look through that little peephole, and here's a state trooper in full uniform, and they open the door, they know something's wrong, and you got to give them the worst news that they'll ever hear. And then you watch their face. Their heart just stops. They hug you. They cry on you. And then you got to take them in your car, take them to the morgue. You got to identify the bodies. And guess what? They grab the body. They grab those hands. They kiss them on the forehead.
Of course.
But see, that's why everything has a nexus. Why would the medical examiner not allow the parents?
It's bothering you, and that's why you're going to get to the bottom of it, I hope.
Well, I just know you. I know you as a dad. If your child was in that morgue, I know what you'd want to do. I know what your wife would want to do.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like I said, they couldn't stop me.
Then how did they stop them?
They'd have to shoot me.
You'd have to shoot me. I'm telling you, you'd have to shoot me.
Right.
I don't care how ugly. I don't care how bad it is. I am going to be with my child.
Wolfgang Halbig, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. Thank you for doing what you're doing, because no matter what, you're looking for the truth. And no matter what, people should respect others who do look for the truth, who do look for clarification. And I want to tip my hat to you for doing that. And I'm really looking forward to talking to you when anything significant happens or when you get back from Newtown, Connecticut.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to visit with you and have this conversation today and all of your listeners. And thank you, Dave. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.